what is Moody's man? Not man, Moody's man. We're Moody's mamen.
Yep.
We're Moody's men. But this is about magazine on RTR.
Okay, good morning. This is Moorish Mag 92.1. Jim and Tonji. How you going, Conk?
Yeah, not bad, Conk. Great to be back on air.
Cool.
With the mob and our listeners out there.
Right, yes. If you don't know the program, Moorish Mag is all in good news stories, mostly about Stolen Generation people, because we both belong to that that community, Stolen Generation peoples, and make up half the population of West Australian Aboriginal people. And, yeah, we're proud to get down to Minang Country on Great Southern FM and Noongar Radio on Whadjuk Country and Locally Radio up in Derby. So we joke, we spread ourselves around like Vegemite, eh, Ton?
Oh, I tell you what, dear, that Vegemite's getting stretched there. Far and wide.
And, of course, being involved in Stolen Generation, our listeners would know that the government recently made an announcement about compensation for our people that were removed and taken away from family, culture and country. And our guest today will be talking about that, but we're talking to Shelley Morris, a lady from the Northern Territory who was stolen herself and has made some really big steps in her music career and has just won some amazing awards in recent times. And also talking to a Binjara woman, you know, from down Pinjarra way, Alice Keering will be joining us in the show today too, to discuss and talk about the redress and implications for herself. Those of you who are aware of compensation, that the state is calling it WA redress and a compensation to be paid out for individuals who are removed from family. And there's some parameters there that we disagree with, and they're talking broadly parameters of people being removed before the 1st of July 1972, but the reality is people were still being removed right up until 85. And Tony might want to talk about his own experience still being in mission in 85. So there you go. This is Moorish Mag. So I've got a couple of guests today. Stay tuned. Got some amazing music. A new CD that's fallen into my hands recently, First Sound Volume 2. Here's We've Got the Power. This last big world as loud as we can. Moorish. We're Moorish Marmon, but that's Moorish music. And, I've got that into my system now. It's what do you want, when do you want it? That used to be the catch cry for land rights. What do you want, when do we...
Tell you what, you're bouncing around the room here.
Good Sonny Lou. Yeah, got the power. Shelley Morrison. Shelley Morrison, that's me. No, that's not me. Morrison, Morris. Shelley Morris is coming on the show shortly, but I realise that Shelley's amazing in her own way, been winning some huge awards, and people are calling her Auntie Shelley. Oh, I get called Uncle. Tonja, you don't qualify yet. But Dr. Shelley Morris AO, recently named as the finalist for the Sunny Music Australia Artistic Excellence Award at the 2025 Australian Women in Music Awards. So she's going to be a guest on the show shortly. So in the meantime, we'll play one of her songs. It's translated to be my song, Nganga, Nganga, Nganga. Gurudja. I've got it wrong, but Shelley will be on the show shortly to translate for us. Here's Shelley Morris. Welcome back to Moorish Mag on RTR FM, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Lulgadi Radio up in Derby. And my guest today is Dr. Shelley Morris. Hello, Dr. Shelley Morris.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, we're two of a kind. I was made a doctor earlier this year at Murdoch University after 52 years of service. So we're two of a kind, eh?
That's right. Doctor.
Doctor, don't call me witch doctor, though. You just heard that song that we played. And say hello to Tonji. You might have met him in somewhere along the line, Canberra probably.
Yes, I have met Tonji. How are you?
I'm good, Shelley. Great to be on air with you again. And, your music is amazing. And for the audience, Shelley, who's your mob and where you're from?
I'm from Borroloola, Yanyuwa mob there, and Waterman west of Catherine. Yeah.
And you just heard that song that we played from 2004. Can you explain what that is?
Was the only song that was done in that album, Nambala Wijili Wunongo, which is Together We Are Strong, with the Borroloola Strong Women.
Too deadly.
And that song was the only other song, not all the other songs were in Yanyuwa, and that song was in Gurangi language with another one of my grandmother's. She's passed away now, and but what a voice, hey? She was incredible.
Wow, that might have brought back memories and very sentimental value. Oh, my sister, that's
very,
too
very much, very yeah. much so, yeah.
Yeah. Shelley, look, our radio program on RTR-FM has been going for quite a number of years now. I think we've probably got 200 podcasts, but and just learning some new music. I just found a CD that I picked up at the media conference in Darwin last week. I think I saw you at the airport, eh?
Yes, you did.
And I said, we're going to this media thing, and this First Sounds Volume 12 is just unbelievable, the talent that's coming through. But, you know, talking about talent, you've recently been acknowledged by, what, Sony Music?
Yes, that's weird because I'm not attached to any labels, but, yeah, great honour to be with some of the biggest stars in this country, really. I'm quite honoured about that.
How would you describe your music? I mean, we've heard something in language which is just amazing. I mean, it obviously means a lot to our mob. I don't know how it would sound with a lot of our listeners. But, you know, RTR-FM are one of the few radio stations in the country that do a Welcome to Country every morning, and they've got their own Reconciliation Action Plan. So our listeners are regular listeners, and we'll probably hear from them saying that, who's that doctor? Who's that doctor, they'll be saying?
Who's that doctor? Well, she's a doctor of music. Look, I really got my doctorate because of all the work that I've done. I've worked in 80 remote communities across NT and WA, up the top there and through the Pilbara, and continued to do music in remote communities, obviously touring with three groups of women at the moment, touring with the Borroloola women, with our new album called Warralunkul.
Wow.
And that's in our four Aboriginal languages of Borroloola. And then I've got an album with the Groot Ladies, and that's in Anandiliakwa, second hardest language in the world. And then I've just finished a children's album in Warramongo language, which is from Tennant Creek.
Mm-hmm. While you're talking there, we might have to find some music. What's been your best production in the last little while?
Look, I think I found the right combination. It's not about the songs. The songs that were written were always, I thought they were fairly good tunes, you know, but it's just the production value.
Right.
That I finally was able to get a combination that really worked, and that's with the new Borroloola album called Warralunkul, and I will send you a text with that because I think you'll quite like that one.
Right.
Across the country. It's in English and in the languages. It talks about growing up on the stations, talks about life in the bush, talks about our stolen generation as well.
Right.
And then I was able to get this great combination together. So that was probably for the first time in my whole career, other than the album that the track that we just listened to from Together We Are Strong.
Right.
Yeah, so the production, I think I cried when I got that one back because I hadn't heard something of such good quality and people that cared about the music as much as I do.
And, you know, we've talked to you before on Murich Mag, which is, you know, good news stories in our language. And you've talked before previously about what you've been involved in, and I think we saw you perform in Canberra, part of one of the apology anniversaries.
Yeah.
And obviously, from that point of view, you were taken too. You were taken away. Do you want to talk briefly about what that means to you?
Oh, look, you know, I mean, you know, I was forcibly adopted. My mother couldn't keep me because she was white. Having a, you know, a coloured child in those days wasn't on. So that was it. You know, I was very fortunate that I did get a wonderful family that ended up bringing me back here to the NT. And they were very good to me, so I was very fortunate in that way. The sad part is that you don't grow up with all of that kinship knowledge, and you don't grow up with all of those languages that I'm surrounded with now. And I've had to really work, you know, double, triple hard to really gain some of that back. And I was very fortunate that music was my passport into those places, and music was gave me the ability to be in so many places and learn a little bit more about who we are. And look, I just feel, you know, yes, there was a lot of trauma that I had to deal with, so I went to some therapy and counselling and kept talking about it, and I feel like I'm a better human now because of all of that. And it's not my fault, I know that. It's none of our faults that that happened, but I don't want to carry it around all my life and be sad and upset all my life. I needed to work through it personally. Wow. And that will never stop, you know. It's not like an instant fix, that's for sure.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley. And it is powerful just listening to you. You know, I'm, you know, myself as a young man and probably one of the youngest stolen generation survivors in the country, or part of that very small cohort. It is one of those things, and I guess what I see and what I'm learning about you is music became your voice, and with music and language, that was the power of you and your voice being echoed through songs and sharing that knowledge and your learnings.
Correct. But it also was a great, you know, it worked for the community as well, because they were getting, you know, a lot of self-esteem and self-encouragement and feeling like, you know, they were holding the power. And that was an important thing to work within a community, is to hand the power back to that community, not run off with my own agenda. If they want it in language, well, I work my ass off to learn it. And if they don't want it in language, we go with English. You know, it's their choice. And that's the way that I've been able to work within those remote places in a respectful manner.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I guess, you know, the power of local voices and, you know, that co-design, working with the mob, and empowering them, and just listening to that last song, you could hear the power of music within those voices and the message.
And that's, to me, been the most important thing to, you know, I'm not, you know, my family are the experts, the people in the bush are the experts. I'm coming in and supporting them in their vision and their dream for music.
Wow, we're talking to Dr. Shelley Morrison, a musician from way back, has won an awards in recent times. And I think the last time we spoke to you on the program, Shelley, you did sort of really emphasise the need for you to speak language. So you've learned some language from countrymen, eh?
Yeah, about 20, I think.
Well, get out of here.
Yeah, no, true God. I mean, I didn't do it on purpose. I do get the giggles because I never did it on purpose. I think the first time I counted, I was singing in five. The next time I counted, it was 12, and then I just stopped at 20.
Let me just read something that's been written about you. I mean, the Australian Women in Music Awards, you stand with giants like Missy Higgins. I mean, you're bigger than her, I've got to say. And it says here, she isn't just an artist, she's a healer, a connector, a cultural torchbearer. And you've sung in more than 17 different languages. I mean, our listeners need to understand that English is not our first language. It's not for most of our mob. It's a third, fourth, fifth language. And you know, here you say you've worked in over 80 communities across the country, but using music as a bridge to connect. Well, that's inspiring. You know, it goes on to say that they can change the face of where they live. They're changing their own lives from these opportunities, she says, reflecting on the power of local voices. Whoa, I'm inspired.
And it is. You know, like, Shelley, when you think about it, even when we're part of the stolen generation, we weren't allowed to speak our language.
Oh,
lost that connection, that identity, and the power of people like yourself and others have gone back and learnt that language.
And it wasn't easy, and there was lots of tears, and I was very depressed, and I just get up every day. I'd be banging the lyrics on my head at night, crying my eyes out. What are you doing this for? Well, I'm doing it because I'm doing it. That's it. And I'd just, you know, gather my thoughts and get up the next day and try again. And community members had worked really hard with me, helping me get it right. And I'd go from there.
Oh, Two Solid says, I'm just reading some more. You said, when I look around and see their faces, their excitement, it's like they have been acknowledged for where they are and the language that they speak. And if music allows that platform, I feel incredibly honoured that I've been chosen to be the vessel. Oh, Too Deadly says, it's just too good to read some more about you. I mean, I knew you were famous anyway when I met you. But now being acknowledged in the Australian Music, Australian Women in Music Awards.
That's a big one.
And what was your feeling when you heard that?
Well, I was really surprised because somebody puts in a nomination for you. When they got back to me, and then when I read what it was and who were the other wonderful nominees, I was really going, wow, that's big. that's big. And little girl running around the bush now. And then I thought, oh, gee, that's a big one. But deeply honoured and deeply proud to be recognised in that nomination.
True, God. Who inspires you the most in our mob or across the planet, really? Who inspires you in your musical journey?
Look, I think there's been many inspirations. Obviously, my grandmother, who also was Stolen Generation, because I was, you know, obviously was very confused and didn't know whether what I was doing was right. And so I went and saw her, and we spoke at length, and she said, my granddaughter, does the community like it? And I went, yeah, they like it. Do you like it? I said, yeah. Well, just do it then. It was just like, and she said, you're doing things that I was never able to do. Being one of the first parts of the Stolen Gen in this country. And, yeah, so she was a great inspiration. Her name was Hilda Jarman Muir. And then, of course, my sister who lives in Kakadu, she was my mentor because she speaks her mother's language fluently. But she's always been gave me the right tools to work out in communities. And then, of course, along the line now, I've got all those family members from Groote Eylandt to Borroloola to Kakadu to all of the people in the desert that I've had the privilege to work with, and all those wonderful, the Yolngu in my life. Dr. M. Yunupingor, the lead singer of Yothiindi, took me under his wing 25 years ago, and they were teaching me Yolngu Matha very quickly. Yolngu Matha is one of the, you know, it doesn't seem as difficult as other languages. Yes, I know it's very difficult as you get deeper into it, but there are a few words that people can say straight up. And so that was a great honour for me as well. And working with his daughter down the track, and now Stapambal Yunupingo is, you know, doing her career and, you know, singing around the place. And I feel really proud to be a part of that.
Wow, great to have you on the program. We've got a song, We Dance and We Sing, we found on our system. Do you remember that, 2012?
No.
Gee, you've produced so much music that you you don't know what's there. How about Jambala? How about Jambala?
Yeah, that one's a good one.
Okay, we might play that next, but we're not letting you go just yet. So, look, it's been, I mean, I probably felt all emotional when I interviewed you the last time, but it's just great to have you on the program. So, here you want a big shout out to anybody in the West. I mean, we go to Derby, you know, up to Ninkina Country and to Lulgana Radio, but you must know Mob in WA, eh?
Yeah, big shout out. Is it going to Pilbara?
Yes.
Yeah, shout out to all of them to Pilbara, all the Mob in Roeburn, shouting out to you. I've on and off been there for over 15 years and, I saw some of them in Darwin the other day, but just wanted to shout out to all the Pilbara crew. Of course, all the pigrams in Broome shouting out to their
Too lovely.
Yep.
Okay, explain. What does this song mean then? Jumba, jumbala.
Jumbala is like together.
Right.
Yeah, we're going. It's a doing word, we're going.
Right.
Yeah. That's about as simple as it is. that's it.
Shelley, thank you for being on RTRFM, yeah. Maurice Magnungar Radio and Great Southern FM and Logany.
Lovely to talk to you both.
We joke about spreading ourselves like Vegemite across the state, Albany in the south and Derby in the north end. And you sound like you've been spreading yourself around, girl, too. You'd better take it easy, look after yourself, eh?
Oh, that's one thing I do. Well, I do look after myself. But thank you.
Shelley, all the best. Lovely to have you on the program. We're going to go out with this song, Jumbala. Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Cheerio. Bye.
If you just tuned in, this is Mortage Mag. Just been listening to Shelley Morris all the way from Darwin. Just tuned in to have a yarn with us about the awards she's been winning. Recognised in the Australian Sony Music Awards along with Missy Higgins. I don't know who's most famous. I reckon Shelley's more famous than Missy Higgins, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, even learning all those languages.
17 languages.
Working with the old people in the communities and using the power of their language to make music.
And, of course, adopted, taken into a white family, and then finding her own mob and learning 17 languages and singing in 17 languages. Oh, look, if you just tuned in, Marmaris, good news stories about our communities around Australia. And Shelley Morris hails from the Northern Territory. And coming up shortly, we're going to play a bit of Emma Donovan. And you're going to freak out when you hear this song, listeners. In the meantime, Alice Kearing's joined us.
Hi, how you going?
G'day.
Kaya. Kaya, all your mob.
Yeah, no. Well, Alice, our program goes Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM Albany and Logany Radio Derby. So you know any mobs down there? You give a big shout out after you think about who you might know in those areas.
No, too many mob.
Thanks for coming, Alice.
Thanks for inviting me.
For the audience and our listeners out there, who's your mob and where you're from?
Well, I'm a Binger of Yorga, and with my mum, as well as a Balku woman from the Mulligone area. My family goes back to there through my mum's father's side. My dad, Balladong, through the connection over there, Beverly, York, all around Dale River. Also, Carnarvon, all the mob up there.
Yeah, no. We jokingly called ourselves, spreading ourselves like Vegemite, going from Albany to Derby.
True as I'm here.
This is bad.
And you're not from one place, you're from all the places where your grandparents all come from. And then you go great-grandparents and you go way back, cover the whole state.
Exactly. And your old people were related to my people. Uncle Paul married Leslie, rest in peace. And so
that's my dad's sister.
Yeah, look out. So we're connected through their children.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can claim now, eh?
Yes.
Look, guys are bad for claiming each other, eh?
Especially when it comes to money.
We do it really well when, yes, you're right, when you want a bit of money. Come on, Auntie. Come on, Uncle.
Yeah, you're my mob.
Yeah. Look, we're going to get serious now. So you've had a bit of fun.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of fun.
So this is a weekly show, good news stories, and we've probably got about 200 podcasts, and we're going to make a podcast out of this, your yarn now, because this will go on the system, and it'll be on the system forever.
Okay.
So you can tune in a little later and hear your voice.
Better watch what I say then, am I?
Well, no swearing, please. No, we've very rarely had bad language on here, because we don't have a button here, see?
Oh, right, okay.
So, but that doesn't matter. I mean, we're usually...
Is that a button where the seat ejects you out of the building and take off?
Alice, look, seriously now, we've been, advocating for our stolen mob for a long time now. It's been probably close to 20 years, and hassling the government about their lack of recognition of stolen people. Other states are doing it, and you know, it's a system that probably hasn't worked satisfactorily. We're still working through how it's going to happen. You know, no money's been paid out yet. And the Premier's office have contracted an organisation to work it through. But when you heard that, sis, what did it mean for you? I mean, I know we were with you at very close after the announcement. We were at one of the hospitals and you and Nigel were doing Welcome to Country. And tell me what your thoughts were, please.
Oh, it just, it almost made me did not want to continue because I had three more contracts with you to do the next three sessions and or viewings of the screening. And I was so broken. It hurt me.
Yeah.
It was like, what is it all for? You know, like, are we not anybody important?
Yeah.
Are we just as not important as the other people who were okay and fit the timeline?
Mm.
And you know, but we have the time to get our parents all taken away, you know, get see them and get separated from them, and then but they can't compensate us for that incident.
Yeah.
It's almost like a car crash, you know. You know, people got to understand the ripple effects that happens. If anyone in a workplace gets injured, if anybody in a car accident, anybody, you know, has a traumatic event and it affects our lives hugely, we get, you know, lawyers involved and they all want to compensate and cover their tracks and do the damage control.
Yeah.
What's wrong with doing the damage control to cover all the people?
I'm so glad you described it that way and sorry for raising it because I think it's so important. We've got a campaign now.
Mm-hmm.
Got a campaign, Bob, and that's why you're here.
Okay.
I want our people who maybe haven't got a voice to come on this radio.
Yeah.
Because we've been told 100,000 people listen to this radio show.
Oh, go away.
We wish.
But, oh, you're a deadly.
So we want to campaign, and as you know, I talked to the Edmund girls yesterday, Meredith, Selena and Angela. And so there's lots of stories.
There's lots.
No, we're not isolated.
No, there's thousands of people are still here.
Yeah, so, and the co-hosts here have been strong advocates for the work we do. Tonji, my conky, is probably one of the youngest survivors in the country. And he was still in mission in 85, but he can tell his own story. Look, so thanks for coming here. Because again, we want to get strong. There's another battle, in other words. There's another battle. We'll just have to go for another round, get in that boxing ring. We can't let sleeping dogs lie. So that's why it's important that you to come here. So tell us more. Tell us more about what happened to you and Mum down at Binjerim Country and how that impacted on you.
Well, I've got three brothers. I'm the only daughter of my mum's. And the sad part about it is that Mum never drank, never smoked, never went out, never partied hard. She was the one that always stayed home because she had to give my youngest brother, Shannon, give him every 2 hours, give him medicine to keep him alive. And so that, you know, that was so important to Mum. And for her to just have these children taken away from her, the stress that Mum would have been under, it would... You know, I couldn't even imagine if she'd be worried about other fellas, you know, giving my baby his hourly medicine or 2 hourly medicine. And that was the hard thing. When Mum talks about it, you know, Mum's gone now. Sorry, love you, my mum, but rest in peace. And she was a powerful lady in strength in her heart and giving a lot to the community as far as advice of how to manage her way of living was how to manage life.
Yeah.
You know, there was no peaceful time. It only lasts for a short time, you know, the peaceful time. There was no long peaceful time because someone would come along and smash it. And that's what she'd done with her book, you know, Smashing Serendipity. So she wrote a lot about her story in that. And the sadness about it is that the continuation, I see sadness in my mum's eyes even... You know, 50 years later, you know, I think about it and I just wonder, you know, how every other person out there, how all the mums, you know, and being a mum myself, and I fight hard for my grandchildren to stay with their mums, and I fought hard for my children to stay with me, and I got a strong man, see?
Yeah, of course you
do. Nigel Wilkes.
Big better, shout out to the Wilkes
family. Give him a plug, yeah. But so he's been there supporting me, and he's actually worried about me today coming in and doing this because after effects.
Yeah, of course. The trauma triggers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all solid on stage, but then I get off stage on that time alone, Yeah. We all feel the same.
We're not on stage now. We're radio, and you've got a deadly radio face.
Yeah.
Hey, think about this program. We could have a lot of fun here, and you go away thinking, we had Professor Fiona Stanley in here for an hour. Oh. She walked down the stairs thinking, I've never had a radio interview like this.
Oh, go away. She's solid.
She is solid.
She's beautiful.
I hope you're going to stick around for a while. We might play a song shortly, but there's a lot to talk about. So I'm glad you were able to come in and tell Nigel we looked after you. Tell him, otherwise, you know, we don't need a good slapping from a big man.
Yes, well, it'll jar us all. Yeah. No, it's good.
It is, Alice, you know, like I said, in terms of this announcement, half of me was happy, half of me was sad, because knowing that people have passed and knowing that people are not part of the eligibility of this timeline. And the reality is you don't change your practice overnight. This is a system where they took us away, as they said, for our own good. We know that is not for our own good today. We see all the issues in our communities and the intergenerational trauma. We see that government has never acknowledged all the trauma they've caused to our people, even to our mothers and our grandparents, even to our communities where these removal policies took place. And we know that we want government to be held accountable. We want government to stand firm to acknowledge all the Aboriginal people that were removed, not have a timeline on it. I mean, I left the mission in 1985. You know.
Yeah.
And that's what dawns on me is my brothers and sisters that I grew up with. And that's the common theme we call each other, brothers and sisters, because they were the precious years of our lives that we grew up on those places, isolated, segregated, where nobody could see us.
Yeah.
So you'd have had a lot of family that were affected as well as yourself around Binjarab way. We're talking to Alice Keering, all the way from Binjarab country, be living in Armidale, and from a community that whole displacement would have occurred with a lot of mob in Binjarab.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. It was huge. Because when when we were all taken, or my grandparents were taken at a young age, and my great-grandparents were taken, they went to New Norcia. When they come back, they brought other families back with them for work, to clear the land. So all those families that came back and stayed with our mob back in the 40s, all their children were taken.
Mm.
I don't remember anyone saying that they wasn't taken, because it was a heartbreaking thing that the whole community had to go through, and one by one they'd see their parents, you know, of these young children being taken away.
Yeah.
And so they'd all get in, you know, and support each other as much as they could, because that's what community do. But it doesn't take away the pain that the person sits with at all hours of the night. They're sitting alone and wondering where their babies are.
We're talking to Alice Keering, a distressing yarn about the close-off date, which is the 1st of July 1972, and we're understanding now that people were stolen and taken after that date, and what that means for the West Australian Government in applying a redress scheme, which we're trying to work through now. But listen, we're going to talk some more. I want to go to a song. You may not have heard this song before. Edmund Donovan, and this song is called Black Nation. Our Black Nation, Emma Donovan, the great Emma Donovan, who features in the documentary that we made, was featured in First Nation International Film Festival in Montreal. We learned today that we were nominated, but we didn't win the award. So that's Black Nation with Emma Donovan, Eschatology and Prodigal. Oh, a remix. They dressed that up. They dressed Emma Donovan's song up, didn't they?
No, it sounded really good.
That's powerful. And that's what that album is. First Sounds, Volume 12. It's got some wicked music on it that really is empowering to hear our young people collaborating and doing some stuff. And the quality.
Oh, they're deadly.
You'll hear the Deadly Boys shortly and a mob called Bad Mother. Nah, what's it called? What's it called? Let me see now.
Badass Mother.
The song's called Dizzy.
Yeah.
And
from Badass Mother.
Badass Mother. You know it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I know everything. You know that.
Okay. Tell us about Mum. And we brought you in for a yarn, but your story is obviously connected, Mum, and distressing to hear grandfather and great-grandfather were all removed. So when you think about stolen generation, don't say singular, it's plural. Understand that that's multi-generational removal. Mothers, grandmothers, great-grand were removed. So there's many generations of removal. So we're getting... You're teaching these fellows a new lesson out. They are listeners now.
Oh, true. Well, so, it'll be... $5 a word.
Tell us about Mum's book.
Mum's book, Smashing Serendipity.
Wow.
It's a story of one Wadich Yoga. And Louise Hansen is her name. Her husband is Percy Hansen. And I call him Dad because he's been around us for 45 years. So, you know, he's looked after us for a long time as well, alongside Mum. Mum said that, you know, if anyone's going to tell my story, it's going to be herself. So she wrote it, she edited it, she done the artwork on it. Mum's artwork is the story about the cover of the book. And sad but true, but when the book was released to the printers, Mum passed away just hours after she signed it off to them. So... yeah, some books I've signed on the inside, but if you look on the outside of the book, her signature's already there from her artwork. So secret woman's business, put her name in there and signed it. So you're not missing out on much as far as her not signing it, because it's there on the front of the book. But as far as the book is concerned, it's about a woman growing up in the... you know, being born in the middle of the century, 20th century? One of those ones, anyhow.
we know what you're talking
about. Last century, 1950 she was born, and in a little place called Pinjarra, the ninth child of 10, and it was very, very hard for her because Mum, in her beautiful nature, was black all over, Aboriginal to a T, but her skin was fair, and it really it was really hard for her because they'd call her all the Milky Way kid or call her all the names, you know, and because the genealogy took her back to her like grandfather's side, her dad's dad, and so it was hard for her to grow up because Pinjarra is located about, I don't know, 70, 80 k's from Perth. And in between Pinjarra and Perth, there's a little place called Fairbridge. And a lot of non-Aboriginal kids came from London or England, and they got shipped out there. And so them fellas, being fair-skinned, them black fellas used to tease Mum when she was little, say, "You go and stay out there at Fairbridge with them kids because you're the same colour, you know, my poor mother." Oh. Yeah. But it was, you know, she sits back, she tell me what a yarn, you know. But, I mean, even as a young teenager growing up and they had to look for work, you know, to help Nan and Pop pay the bills, well, you know, those people were not kind, the employers. They were not kind. They treated Mum with disrespect,
right?
As they did with many of our Aboriginal women, but Mum was strong. She told them where to go in a kind way, not so kind.
yes.
Yeah. But you know, she's strong. This lady walked in Parliament, you know, and made laws for 24 million people. My mother, she changed the laws of many. Our policies. I don't want to get into the policies, but, you know, the changes that she made, because people might get offended, but it was a strong strength of standing up for our women.
Good.
And it's got to do with other cultures from the multiculturalism that's here in Perth now, or in Australia. Well, it's got to do with other cultures, so I don't want to bring that up. But... you can imagine what I'm talking about if you use your headspace properly.
Yep.
So Mum did that. She set up this yarning group over here at Curtin University, been running since 2014.
Whoa.
And then at UWA. So we've been there for 4 years at UWA, and 10, 11 years at Curtin. And it's a yarning circle educating people who are working with our Aboriginal people in the hospitals social welfare, psychology. So she's done a lot of things. But Mum passed away and left it all to us, so me and Nigel and my brothers and Dad, you know, and even his nephew, Paul. You know, they all come in.
Lovely.
They all come in and do the work with us, you know. And brother boy, you know, rest in peace, Chrissy G. He was one of ours too. And the young people, we're passing it on to the next generation so that they can take over where we go, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a lot of work talking to them Wadalas, you know. Educating them because there's no paperwork. We've got a yarning circle.
Yes, we have, yeah.
No paperwork.
Yep.
And we've got a fire and we just sit down and yarn.
Yep.
And they're like, they're stunned because all their work is theory, you know?
Yep, theory.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So good luck with that.
Okay. We've got more than we bargained for, Alice. Now, you know where we live. Yeah, here every Thursday. We're going to get you back at some point. Big Nigel even have another yarn. Thanks for coming in. We're going to play.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, the Deadly Boys. You know some of them apparently. It's a song called From the Island. So, Alice, really appreciate your time, girl. I know it's been tough coming in, and Nigel would be worried about you. But you tell Nigel we looked after you today.
Yes, all right.
Okay.
And we might get in trouble then.
Deadly Boys From the Island. Thank you for joining Mudich Mag here, Noongar Radio, Great Southern FM and Lulgadi up in Derby. Yeah, it's great to have Alice on the show and earlier Shelley Morris, whose song we've been playing and honouring her awards. So we're going to say goodbye now and go out with a song called Dizzy from Badass Mother. I don't know what that actually means. Badass Mother. Let's play it. Yeah, tune in next week.